We're in Daf Yud Amid Aleph. Seven lines in the top. But you 10A1. Okay. Again, Yud Amid Aleph 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the top. The Mishnahs were discussing the various things you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed and the various things you're not allowed to do Chol HaMoed. One of the things the Mishnah said at the end was, Misargin, first we spoke about tailors, you know, if it's not a professional type of a job, you could do it, if not, not. But then the Mishnah said, Misargin es hamites. We don't know what Misargin is. You're going to ask, what is Misargin? But the Mishnah said, you could be Misargin the mites, and Abiesi says, no, only Memachtin. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the difference is. So the Gemara asks, Misargin is Samita, is my Misargin. What does Misargin mean? What does it mean? So the Gemara says, not only my Misargin, umay memachtin. What is Matchin and what is Misargin? So the Gemara says, Kios and Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Eretz Yisroel to Bavel, he brought halacha that he learned in Eretz Yisroel. Pligabar abchia barabi verabasi. He said, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Abasi were arguing, and both stated their opinion in the name of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. What was the difference? The din is like this. Chadam, one of them says, Misargin shasi ve'ediv. You could make the ropes of the bed in the length and in the width. And the second one is, Mematchin is shasi bulei ediv. Only one way and not the other way. Meaning, when they used to make a bed, how did the beds were not mattresses like we have today. They used to put straw down on the bed, right? But they used to, the base of the bed was actually ropes. So they would put ropes lengthwise or widthwise, and then they would put ropes lengthwise, okay? And then they would put the straw on top of it. So one opinion says, Misargin means putting the ropes length and width, Shasi ve'ediv both directions, and mematchin is one shasi b'le'ediv, meaning the length and not the width. V'chadam, and the other opinion says, that's one opinion. The other opinion says no. Misargin means shasi b'le'ediv. Misargin means length, width, not length. And mematchin, what does mematchin mean according to that opinion? If the ropes were there, but they became loosened, you can tighten the ropes.
Is someone saying, or the Mishnah, or whatever, that Misargin is okay and Mematchin is not okay? Or?
Well, the Mishnah said like this, Misargin is Hamites, and Avchesem is Beis. Okay? The last few words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Misargin is Hamites. Rabbi Yaisi says, no, only Mematchin. That means the Tanakhama says Misargin and definitely Mematchin. And Rabbi Yaisi says no, only Mematchin and not Misargin. That means Mematchin is less of a work than Misargin. Misargin is more effort. Right? So one opinion says Misargin is putting the ropes length and width. Mematchin is one way, not both ways. And the other opinion says no, Misargin is only one way. Mematchin is all just tightening the ropes. So the Gemara says, Eini, you can't be. It can't be this definition. Why? Because a Tana, Rav Tachlifa Bashol, Rav Tachlifa Bashol said in a Braise, Vishavan, that Ramey and Rav Yesi agree, Shemafshil and Chavolim Lachatchila, that you cannot twist new ropes for the bed during Chol HaMoed. Okay? To twist new ropes, you can't. So he says like this, Vishleim Laman Diyamer Misargin Shasi Ve'ediv. So it makes sense, according to the opinion, that Misargin means both directions. This is the first opinion. And Mematchin is only one direction, then the Braisa makes sense. Why? That's what the Tachlifa learns, Vishavin Shemafashlin Chavolim Lachatchila, because everybody allows, you can't twist the ropes, because twist the ropes is really a lot of work. You can have putting the ropes and twisting the ropes. Twisting the ropes is much harder job than just putting down the ropes. So he says, El Alaman the Yomer Misargin. But according to the opinion, it says Misargin means Shasi Belay Ev, only one direction putting the ropes. And Mematrin means, if it was loosened, you could tighten it. He says, Hash the Shasi Ve'ed of a Martelay. If everybody says you can't do it length and width, of course he can't do twisted ropes. Twisted ropes is much harder work than length and width. So if everybody says that you can't do it length and width, so then how could somebody say that chavalim lechatchila you can't? Of course you can't. If you can't even put it length to width, for sure you can't twist it, because twisting is much more work. So therefore we, and the Gemara says kasha, okay, yep.
Can I ask you a quick question?
What?
Where are these ropes now?
Ropes to put down as a bed, the base of a bed. So the question is, can you do it on Cholamayt? No, the question is, can you do it on Cholamayt?
Oh, okay.
This is a whole continuation of the... So the... What?
No. You got a brochure.
What do you need? Okay. So the Gemara says, Kashi, you have a difficulty. Okay? We're on page Yud Amid Aleph. But now the Gemara says like this. This din is not practical for us because we don't make beds today by putting ropes length and width, and definitely not Chol HaMoed. Okay? But now the Gemara says, Amar Leir Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Lo Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin.
Or maybe it means if your bed breaks on Chol HaMoed, can you fix it? Or
obviously, from the concept of everybody agrees, though, that if it got loose, you can tighten it. That's for sure. So based on that, if a bed loosens, you can definitely tighten the screws on Chol HaMoed. Let me say that. Okay, Amalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Rav Chiya Bar Abin. No, but the interesting question would be: can you assemble a bed on Chol HaMoed?
Right.
I mean, that's basically what our Gemara is discussing.
Which is
right, or for that matter, somebody buys a new outdoor furniture, or a new bookcase, or a new whatever piece of furniture. No, this it's based on this Gemara. You see clearly, it's not so easy on Chol HaMoed halachically to assemble furniture, and even a bed. We're talking about a bed, and the Mefarshim discussed, by the way. He says, L'cheira, some people write that this whole din about making the bed, I'm not talking about putting on the sheets on them, I'm talking about making the bed, is only if there's no other bed to sleep on. He quotes it from the bottom, that Rabbi Chilmi Paresh suggests that it is permitted only if the person has no other bed in which to sleep. See, Tesis over here, he brings down, Tesis asks the question, Tema, Heich muta lasis malacha ki hai b'lo shinui. And Tesis doesn't even answer the question. Tesis asks the question, how in the world can the Gemara discuss about making a bed? Where in the world are you allowed to do things on Chol HaMoed like this? So, one answer that other Tesis remains by a question. Just two-line Tesis with a tema. But Rabbi Chilmi Parish says that it's Taka the Gemara speaking when there's no other bed. Or other Mefarshim answer, like Taisus Sarash explains, because not having a bed prepared would ruin your Simcha of Yom Tif. Because we know that when people don't sleep, they get cranky. Okay. So then it would be considered a loss, because you're going to lose sleep, so to speak, by not having the bed. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Rav Chiya Bar Abin, Mi'ika Laman Di Omar. Is there ever such an opinion that says Misarge means Shasi Bulayediv, which is the second opinion of the Gemara? The first opinion of the Gemara says Misargin means you put the ropes length and width, or width and length. But the other second opinion says Misargin means only in one direction. So the Gemara says, is there such an opinion? But Tanan, he says like this, Rav Meir Eimer Amita Mishayis Rigba Shalish Batim. That's when it becomes susceptible to tumah. When Yud Amud Aleph.
Yud Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
Which line?
Middle of the page.
Okay.
Now, there's a din like this. We learned already many times in Meid Katan, the Chagiga, in order for something to become susceptible to become Tamei, it needs to be a complete vessel. Okay, we learned many times in the Gemara, what is the definition of a vessel becoming complete, that now it's able to become Tamei if Tumah touches it. So the Gemara discusses, when is a bed become a bed? So Rav Meir says, when is a bed a bed? When you have three houses. What do you mean three houses? When you put ropes to the length and to the width, okay? So then you have the space, the square space in between the ropes.
The frame or not the frame?
No, the holes, the space between the ropes. Okay? Now a bias, Rashi explains, what is a bias on a bed? If you have a square space between the ropes, that's one bias. So the mayor says, when does a bed become a bed? When you have three of them. Now, you can't have a square space between ropes if the ropes are not going in both directions. If you have ropes going in one direction, you can't have a bias. Because a bias is the square that's in between the ropes which are crisscrossing. Right? So the Gemara says, Rav Meir used the word mesargin, hamita mishayisrig ba, when you weave in it, three bottom. So you see clearly, Rav Meir defines sariga as length and width. So the Gemara asks, how can you have an opinion? The second opinion of the Gemara was that mesargin means the ropes going only in one direction, not the opposite direction, not the cross direction, when Rav Meir clearly defines mesargin as the space between the squares between the ropes. So obviously there is mesargin chassis vative. So the Gemara says like this. You're right. You're right. That opinion is wrong. And the Gemara says, Alakiyos Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, first the Gemara was talking when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. So when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, a bunch of the people from Bavel, was interesting. The Gemara says earlier in Shabbos, the Gemara says, the guys that lived in Bavel, Iraq by the way, they went to Israel to learn. And the guys that lived in Israel went to Bavel to learn. Because it says in Pirkei Avos, have a geilulim kem teira. You should exile yourself to go to Teira. Because if you're home with the family, the one tells you to do this, and this one tells you to do this. Like this, if you're away from home, you can concentrate on the learning. So it says, the guys from Eretz Yisrael used to go to Bavel to learn, the guys from Bavel used to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. And therefore, the Gemara says many times, you had the Amiroim, especially, coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they used to bring, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, they used to bring like new dinim that they heard there, new dinim that they learned. So it says, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, B'mizgarin, what is Mizgarin? Mizrgin, I mean, Kula amale pligi the shasi v'ediv. Everybody says, based on the mayor's teachings, masrigin means length and width of the ropes. Okay? That means the ropes are going crisscross on the bed as the frame of the bed. Where is the argument of what the definition is? The mematchin, they're arguing what matchin is. Marsava, one opinion says, mematchin means shasi b'lay ediv. Length without width. Umarsav, and one opinion says, if it was loose, you can tighten it. Meaning in the Mishnah, it said, the Chachamim hold, Mesargin es Amitis. That on Chol HaMoed, you can crisscross the ropes to make the bed. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that you can't do. What you could do is Mematchin. So the Gemara says, what is Mesargin? According to the outcome of the Gemara, Misargi means you put the ropes length and width that you're allowed to do. What is Mematchin that Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to? Only Mematchin and not Misargin. So one opinion says it means putting the ropes only one direction. And the second opinion says to tighten the ropes if they loosened. But everybody agrees Misargin is length and width. And basically you're creating a whole bed frame. So based l'cheir, according to the Chacham, which is Rav Meir, you should be allowed to assemble furniture on Yom Tov. Even though Taisa says, why? If you don't need it for Yom Tov, you're definitely not allowed to. From Agumar comes out clearly, according to all opinions, to assemble furniture that you don't need for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it.
Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov?
No, Yom Tov for sure you can't. You're building. No, that's no question you can't. The whole Gemara here is talking Chol HaMoed, what you're allowed to do.
Is it an issue of your labor? You're working
hard? It's Tircha for no reason at all, yeah.
So, could you have a guy do it?
No.
It's an issue of you working hard.
No, because what you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do either, Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, we're talking.
For not you?
You can't tell a guy to do things on Chol HaMoed that you can't do. He is your shliach. Why can't you tell a guy on Shabbos to do things you're not allowed to do? What's the...
Because you're not allowed to do, so you cannot
do. So, what is it? Why? The guy's not obligated to keep Shabbos. On Shabbos, right? I can't tell a guy to do something I'm not allowed to do. Unless you hint to him and, you know, all the leniency of the Shabbos guy. But technically, you can't tell a guy, go do something on Shabbos. Right? No, but that's the din. The whole parak is talking about what you can water fields on Chol HaMoed, what you can build on Chol HaMoed, what you can do on Chol HaMoed. I mean, all the various mishnas that we learned before of the do's and the don'ts of what you're allowed to do. About not getting married Chol HaMoed, you know, all the various sewing on Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov for sure you can't do it.
So then
there's a leniency, what's called David HaAvod. If you're going to lose money, so the Chachamim were more lenient.
You could
in other words, Chol HaMoed, it's interesting, Halacha says, the Torah gave the discretion to the Chachamim to define work on Chol HaMoed. It's interesting, the Torah gave the power to decide what is work on Chol HaMoed, the Torah gave it up to the Chachamim to decide.
From what Pasuk or from wherever the Torah is from, or the Torah gave the Chachamim?
That's what the Gemara says. I understand. I learned that from Pasuk, I don't remember.
Are you saying that what is work on Chol HaMoed what is work in Shabbat could not be work on Chol HaMoed? Is that what, could they differentiate? Could something be work in Chol HaMoed?
Can you drive a car in Yom Tov? No. Right? No. Shabbat, can you drive a car? No. Chol HaMoed, can you drive a car? Yeah. If somebody drove a car on Shabbat, they would get stoned in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do it. It wasn't the Chamor, they had a meeting over a cup of coffee, and they said, okay, we'll trade. It was...
So I don't understand the meaning of what you just said. They can define work?
They can define what was work. And what
in
is
general?
The, no, for Chol HaMoed. Only for Chol HaMoed.
So what is the difference between these two sentences? They can define work in general?
No.
As opposed to define work for Chol HaMoed.
In work in general, they cannot define. Torah defines.
Uh-huh.
And Shabbat and Yom Tov. Okay, because Yom Tov is like Shabbos, right? The Torah classified, the Torah says, what is considered work? What was done in the Mishkan? The 39 things which were done in the Mishkan, or anything similar to it, is biblically forbidden on Shabbos, or Yom Tov. Okay? Now, what's with the in-between days of Chol HaMoed? Okay? Because it's called Chol, and it's called Moed. It's like in-between. So some things the Chacham said you're allowed to do, and some things the Chacham said you're not allowed to do.
But then they refer back to the 39?
Not for Chol HaMoed.
They don't refer back to that at all?
No.
They just somehow...
Now, the Chachamim forbade certain things because, like it says in the Mishnah, pick you up, the Mevazet Sameyadis, if somebody shames Chol HaMoed and doesn't treat Chol HaMoed with proper respect, the Mishnah says, you know, Ein lo chelek l'olam haba, I mean, all those very sharp expressions. But the concept of Chol HaMoed was given over to the Chachamim to define what is the definition of work. Once the Chachamim define what the definition of work, it becomes biblically forbidden. Now, one second. What you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and the Alter Rebbe says an interesting concept, it's a Goyis Maimonides that he quotes, but why am I not allowed to tell a guy? The Chachamim forbade it. Okay, it's a Midah La'akum. Telling a guy to do melacha for you on Shabbos is rabbinically forbidden. Because biblically, if I'm not doing the work on Shabbos, then I tell a guy to do it. He's not obligated to keep Shabbos. So why can't I tell a guy to do something on Shabbos if I'm not doing it? So the Gemara says it's rabbinically forbidden. Why? What's the concept behind it? So the din is, yesh shlichus la'akum l'chumra. Now normally, the din of an agent, a proxy, a shliach, does not exist by a guy. Okay? Because when the Torah speaks about, where do we learn out that a person could be a shliach? No, that was before Matan Torah. And Eliezer had the din of a guy. So there's a few psukim in the Gemara in Kedushim, in the second parak, learns out various different psukim that we learn out the concept of shlichus. One is, it says by Truma, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem. The Torah is speaking about you separating Truma. The Torah should have said, Kein Tarimu Atem. You should give Truma. What does Gam Atem mean? Also you? Also as an extra word, including your shliach. Meaning, I can make a shliach to separate Truma from me. I can, as Gemara is speaking over there, I can make a shliach, like Eliezer did, to make Kedushin to a woman for me. If I want to do Kedushin, give her a ring, and say, I'm a Kedushin with a certain woman, the Gemara learns out from the Psukim that I don't have to go to the woman myself. I can send an agent to go to the woman, give her a ring, and say to her, Hare Atma Kedushin to that guy who sent me. Okay? And it would be valid Kedushin. But when the Torah learns it out, Shlichus in the Pasuk Gam Atem, but it says Atem. So the Gemara learns out, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, just like you're Jewish, Av Shluchachem B'nei Bris. Your Shlich has to be Jewish. That means, biblically, a Shliach can only be considered as if I did it, if the guy is Jewish. But a guy cannot be a Shliach. That means, if I send a guy to separate Truma, Meiser, to tie to things, and he does it, it's worthless. Because he's not a shliach. According to this halacha, if I send a guy to do a business deal for me, and he does it, not nowadays, it's all different law nowadays, but in biblical law, it's not a transaction, because he's not my shliach. If I send a guy to give a get, if somebody sends a guy to give a get to his wife, the guy is not a shliach. But the Gemara says, the Agoyis Maimonis in Hilchos Shabbos says that Lachumra, though, in a for strictness, a goy could be your shliach. In other words, under normal circumstances, no. But to be machmir, then a goy could be your shliach when it goes against you. Meaning, if I tell a goy to do something for me on Shabbos, the goy is becoming my agent. So it's like I did it. And if I can't do it, my shliach can't do it. I, the goy, can't be a shliach. L'chumra, a goy could be a shliach. For stricter, a goy could be my agent. So therefore, when the goy is lighting the fire for me, it's like I lit the fire. Rabbinically. Not biblically, rabbinically. Now, in fact, there's a famous, we're going off a little bit, but there's a famous Tosis Rid in Kedushin that asks a question. Why can't I make a shliach to put on tefillin for me? If shliach shaladam kamaisei, if I send you as an agent, it's like I did it. If you separated truma for me, it's like I did it. So why can't I? I'll pay you to put on tefillin for me every day, and I won't have to do it. Or he asks, I can tell you. Let's say I don't like matzah. Comes Pesach, I say, you know what? You'll be my shliach. You'll eat the matzah for me. And I won't have to eat matzah. It'll be considered as if I ate matzah. So the answer is, the Tosis Rid says a phenomenal concept, but it's very important in halacha. On a mitzvah shebegufei, a mitzvah that your body has to do, you can't make a shliach. Why? The definition of a shliach, and I'm saying because of Chol HaMoed, the definition of a shliach is, your action is like I did the action. Right? Okay, so let's say I send you to put on tefillin. Okay? Good. So it's like I put on tefillin, but on whose body?
Someone else could put tefillin on your own body as long as it's your body that they're.
Correct. In other words, if I tell you to put on tefillin for me, yeah, it's like, yeah, I put on tefillin because your actions, like I did it, right? But whose body had the tefillin on? Mine or yours? If I say, eat matzah for me, okay, it's like I ate matzah, but not with my body. So on a mitzvah that your body has to do, is parenthetical. You can't make a shliach to do it, even though the action of the shliach is the action of the sender. Shliach shon kamaisei, mamish, as if he did it. But he did it on your body, and it has to be put on my body. Now, coming back to Chol HaMoed, if I'm not allowed to do it, right, I'm not allowed to do Melach on Chol HaMoed, according to many opinions in the Rishonim, it's biblically forbidden to do Melach on Chol HaMoed, right? So then, if I'm making a Goy, a Shliach, to do it, it's like I'm doing it rabbinically, it's still forbidden, like Shabbos.
One more time.
If I ask a Goy to do something for me, rabbinically, he's my agent. So it's like I did it. And if I'm not allowed to do it, how can I do it? If I tell a guy, light a fire for me on Shabbos, right? So biblically, I don't get punished. But rabbinically, the Chachamim said, you are my agent. If you're my agent, it's like I lit a fire. If the Chachamim said, you can't do construction, Chol HaMoed, and a guy is doing it for me, it's like I did the construction, which I'm not allowed to do.
Isn't it dependent on you, that you, your body, shouldn't do the
no.
oil?
No, the Torah says you cannot do an act of building, sewing, whatever it may be. Then your body can't do it. It's not that my body can't light a fire on Shabbos.
I'm saying,
have a cup of some over there. What?
Isn't it dependent on the toil that you
have? No, that's fine. Either one.
It's not dependent on the
no.
toil?
No. The act of toil is forbidden. But
is there anything that's...
Thank you.
Is there anything that's forbidden on Chol HaMoed that would be allowed on Shabbos?
No.
In that case, what you cannot do on Chol HaMoed is a subset of the 39 things then. So it does require...
No, but it's nothing to do with it. There's certain things...
It has to be, because otherwise there'd be things on Chol HaMoed that you couldn't do that you could do on Shabbos.
No. Because Shabbos is much more restricted, much stricter than Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, I understand that.
If you can't do it on Chol HaMoed, for sure you can't do it on Shabbos.
Then everything that's prohibited on Chol HaMoed was also prohibited on Shabbos. So they took the 39 and they took parts of it and made things you can't do on Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, but which parts?
Any part they wanted.
Okay. So generally work is defined by those 39 malachas. Besides the 39 malachas, there is no other type of work.
That's all I was trying to say.
But like even writing, we'll learn later in the Gemara. You can write on Chol HaMoed only certain things. There's no blanket permission to write on Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, you can't write anything unless if it's life endangering situation. Okay, let's invite to the Gemara. So the Gemara says basically now, the Gemara defined, Misargin is both. Mematchin, one opinion says one direction, and the other opinion says tightening the ropes. So it says, Meisvei, I'll ask you a question. It says, huh? By you it's 10:82. Okay, the end of the first column. Meitzei, Mesagin, Esamita, you can interlace the supports for the bed. You can definitely do Mamatchin divided ab Meir. Rabbi Yesi says, Mamatchin avalei Mesagin. You can Mamatchin, whatever that is, but not Mesagin. V'yesheimrim, a Mamatchin kolikim. And one opinion says, you can't do any of this Mamatchin. So one opinion says One opinion says you could even do Mesargin. One opinion says no, but you could do Mematchin. And the other opinion says you can't even do Mematchin. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Bishleima lamandi omer Mematchin shasi v'leyedev. So if Mematchin means, like one opinion says, length without width, hainu da'asi yashayimim leflugi. That's what the yashayimim comes to argue, that you can't do length without width. But, But the one, if you say mematchin means just tightening the ropes, that means the yesh oimenim, so you can't even tighten the ropes? He says, it can't be such a thing. The Gemara says like this. One opinion says mematchin means one direction, and the other opinion says mematchin means just tightening the ropes. You're not doing anything but tightening the ropes. So the Gemara says, okay, one opinion says you can do mematchin, one opinion says you cannot do mematchin. So the Gemara says, if mematchin means length without width, or width without length, I understand. The opinion says you can't put ropes in any directions. But if the opinion mematchin means you can tighten the ropes, and they say you cannot tighten the ropes, what do you mean you can't tighten the ropes? What are you doing? You're just tightening the rope. You're not doing anything. How could that be forbidden? So the Gemara answers in, it could be forbidden. Because who says you need to make ropes? What does it mean? Kiven the afshel mamale b'mane, you can fill up the space in the bed with clothing. Who said you need to put ropes? Stuff it with shmatis, and you'll be able to sleep on it. So even tightening the ropes is unnecessary work. So Gemara says mamachin could mean really tightening the ropes, and one opinion taka says you can't even tighten the ropes. Why? Because you know what? Stuff it with stuff instead.
Is it provided you have stuff around that you can stuff it with? That's just like it's,
yeah, but the taste it says also that's only if it's needed for yomtiv. Otherwise, you couldn't even do that. Okay, next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says like this: Mamidin tane v'kirayim v'rechayim b'meid. The Gemara is going to discuss what it means, but the Gemara is saying statements now. You can set up an oven or a stove or a millstone on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara is going to discuss what does this mean. But the Tanna Kamma says you can put together an oven, a stove, or a millstone, you know, grinding stone, on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, a mechapshin es rechaim betchila. You cannot gouge, and the Gemara is going to ask what that means, but you can't gouge a millstone the first time. So right away the Gemara says, my mechapshin, what does it mean, gouging? So Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says, it means menake rechaya, cutting holes, grooves in the stone. And Abichiel Amar, bas eino, cutting an eye hole. Okay, when you have a mill grinds wheat, yeah? So how do you have a mill, basically? You have two stones that go like this, okay? And it takes the wheat and grinds it into flour. Now, in order for that to work, you need a rough edge on one of the stones. Because if the stones are smooth, they're just going to go around each other. They're not going to do anything to the wheat. So what they used to do when they made millstones, they used to take metal, whatever it was, and make grooves in at least one of the stones, that when you put down the wheat and the stone goes over it, so then it's going to grind it. Okay? That was one thing they did. Then, they also in the mills, they used to have a hole in the middle of the top stone, that they would put the wheat in, okay, when the stones were grinding, they would have a hole that they would put a wheat in, that should get into the, in between the two stones. So these are the two opinions, what does mean gouging the stones?
How do they make holes in stones? Back then?
I don't know, they did, I guess they did it. Electric drill. electric drill there. I mean, how did they do everything in those days? They were much better craftsmen than today. Just figure out how they did the things in the Mishkan, you can go crazy. How they figure those things out.
Well, that's you all built it, didn't it?
What?
That's when you all built it, right?
He's probably 8. Yeah, I think he was younger than 13. He was, Mattel was the engineer. Okay. Well, he had workers with him, but okay, so the Gemara says, my mechapshin. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, you can't be mechapshin the mill. So the Gemara says, what does mechapshin mean? So Rav Yehuda says you cannot be making grooves in the millstone that it should be able to grind. And Rav Yechiel says bas eino, it means cutting the eye hole, like we said was the hole in the stone that put the wheat into.
Obviously, it's Rav Yehuda is different than Rav Yehuda than Mishnah.
Oh yeah, Rav Yehuda, one's Rabbi Yehuda, one's Rav Yehuda. They probably live five generations apart.
There's something about the first time here, though, right?
Yeah, well, initially, well, the Gemara is going to explain what that means also. The first time.
You could maybe sharpen some grooves that have been placed in before, maybe?
The Gemara is going to discuss exactly how it works with the expression of beginning and end. Anyway, so far in the Mishnah, and what we learned in the Gemara is like this. The first opinion says, you can set up a stove, you can set up an oven, you can make a millstone on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda says, but you cannot gouge the millstone. So the Gemara is saying, what is gouging the millstone? Either making grooves in the stone that it should grind, or making a hole in the stone to put the wheat through. These are the two opinions. So the Gemara says, Meisei, I'll ask you a question. It says in a braisa, "Mamidim tana v'kirayim b'meid." You're allowed to set up an oven or a stove on Yom Tov, or a millstone, or bevach leyigma melachton, on the condition that you don't finish it. You don't finish the thing. David Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Meaning, what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? That you need to have what's called a shinui. You need to do it a little bit different than normal. Okay? So by leaving over something unfinished at the end, that itself shows that you did it differently than the rest of the time. Chachamim Eimrim Af Yigmer. Chachamim said you can even finish it. Why? Because a Chachamim hold, you need it for Yom Tif, for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tif, you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yehuda im Mishmei, Rabbi Yehuda says in Rabbi Eliezer's name, Ma'amid im Esachadosh, you can set up a new millstone, or Mechapshin es Yishana, and you'd gouge the old one, V'yash Eimrim, and some people say, Mechapshin kol, you can't gouge it at all. Now, here the Gemara says, you can gouge an old one. Now, the Gemara is going to say very simple. If gouging means making a hole to put the wheat in, that hole is there already. If it means making it rough, that makes sense because after a while that the millstone is working, the grooves smoothen out. So I understand what it means that you cannot do mechapshin. That you could do mechatchkin to the old one. Because if gouging means making the grooves, it makes sense how it's possible to do it. The grooves rubbed out, and now you need to make new grooves. But if gouging means make a hole in the mill to put the wheat through, so what do you mean old or new? Once it's a mill, there's already that hole there.
Well, maybe at the beginning it was not there.
Then it's not a mill.
It's sort of a mill.
No, you can't have a mill without it, it says. The way the millstones were, there was a hole to put the wheat in. So what do you mean you can gouge an old millstone? If the definition of gouging makes grooves, it makes sense. Because you're making new grooves, because the old grooves rubbed out. But if you're saying it means make a hole in the middle to put the wheat in, so that was there already. What do you mean make? What do you need to make a hole? It's there already. Tomorrow's going to answer, it means broadening the hole. But if there's a hole, what do you need? The hole doesn't disappear.
So it's a smaller hole than you normally would. It would be a shinoi?
Well, see, what the Gemara said, you want to make it a bigger hole. It's not big enough. You need to make it bigger.
Basically, you really want to say that if it's just the two stones, it's not and there's no hole.
It's not a mill.
It's not a mill.
Right. So the Gemara says you can't do a mill. I mean, when you score about a rechayim, a millstone, it means that there, that thing exists there already. It's not a millstone.
Why do they need to make it wider?
One second. So the Gemara says, Bishle mechapshe menake rechaya. If mechapshe means you make them grooves, it says, That's why you have to do it in the case of the old one, because what happens by the old one, the grooves rub out. So you need to make grooves. But if you're like Rabbi Chiel says, it means making the hole to put the wheat in. Yishena baseinu lamala. What does he need to make a hole? It's there already. It already has an eye hole. So the Gemara answers, again, the boiler vuchi tfei port. He needs to make the hole a little bit bigger. So that's the din, that you cannot make a new hole, but mechapshin as a yeshani, you can make an old hole bigger. Because making a little hole bigger is much less work than making a new hole to begin with. It's self-understood. If there's a hole there and you just want to make it a little bit bigger, it's easier than to make a new hole. The Gemara says now like this. Rav Huna Shammai Lohu Gavad. The Chacham in the olden times are very strict people. Rav Huna heard there was a certain guy to come in Naker Rechaya B'chol HaDameid. Rav Huna heard there was somebody who made grooves in his mill on Chol HaMeid. Amar said, Rav Huna said, My hi, who is this guy? May his body become desecrated because he desecrated Chol HaMeid. So you see from there, the Gemara says, Savala ki yashemrim, that Rav Huna held like the yashemrim, that holds you can't even gouge an old mill on Yom Tov. Because Rav Huna didn't ask, was it a new millstone or an old millstone? Rav Huna heard the guy made grooves. He said his body should be desecrated because he desecrated Yom Tov. What that means, that Rav Huna held like the Yashemim that held even a new one, an old one, you can't gouge it anyway. So Rav Huna was very sharp. You know, he cursed the guy, basically. Yeah.
Would there be a different word for making an original groove versus...
No, same thing. Same thing.
Why does someone wish something like that on somebody? Is there something wrong with it? Is that okay? Or?
Because the Chachamim...
Are they like judges or something?
Well... They were judges. They set up the whole oral tradition that we have. Because the Gemara says, because people used to cheapen Chol HaMeid, that's why the Chachamim were strict about certain things, because they didn't want people to come and shame Chol HaMeid. Because people were thinking, listen, it's not Yom Tov, it's only Chol HaMeid, let me do whatever I want. And the Chachamim said, that's disgracing the Yom Tov. And because of that, the Chacham were very strict. And it seems that in Rav Huna's time, people were probably very lenient about Chol HaMeid. So to bring out the point, Rav Huna said, may his body become desecrated.
So did that happen to the guy's body?
Doesn't say. Imagine if Rav Huna said it happened. But the Gemara doesn't say it happened. Now the Gemara is going to talk about trimming animals' nails on Chol HaMeid. This is about cutting animals' nails. But first he says, Darish Rav Chama. Rav Chama made a public speech, and he said, you can cut grooves in a millstone on Chol HaMeid. Not like Rav Huna. He said, you could cut, you know, grooves in a millstone. And he says, Mishum Rav Meir Amen, and was said in the name of Rav Meir, Afilu Su Sherechiv Olav, even the horse that you ride. Or chamer shereichav olav, the donkey that you ride, muta lito tzipanai mechol HaMeid, you can trim the hooves of the animal on Chol HaMeid. Why? So Rashi explains, because when animals' hooves were not trimmed, it became very uncomfortable for the animal to walk. And therefore, if you needed to ride on Chol HaMeid from one place to the next, and the animal wasn't going well, it disturbed your Yom Tov. So the Chacham say that is called Tzerech Yom Tov. That's called for the need of Yom Tov. Even by people, it's a very interesting halacha. You're allowed to cut your nails Chol HaMeid. So the din is like this. If you cut them before Yom Tov, you can cut them Chol HaMeid. If you didn't cut them before Yom Tov, you can't cut them Chol HaMeid.
And before Yom Tov means?
A day or two before Yom Tov. Not 3 weeks before Yom Tov, no. One of the reasons why, according to Halacha, you're not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Why can't you take a haircut Chol HaMoed? So it says, because people were busy before Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed, people didn't work. So they said, why do I need to take a haircut before Yom Tov when I'm busy? You know what? Chol HaMoed, I have plenty of time. I'll take a haircut Chol HaMoed. So Chacham said, you're not going to go into Yom Tov with long hair, which is despicable. So what did the Chachamim say? You're not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Therefore, we're going to learn in the third parak, Elu Megalchim B'Moed. The Gemara is going to say, but a guy that couldn't take a haircut before is allowed to take it. The Gemara's example is a guy that was in jail. And he wasn't able to take a haircut, and he got out of jail Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to take a haircut. Because it wasn't his fault that he didn't take a haircut before Yom Tov. I'll give you a practical example. An upsharonish. Not Pesach, because Pesach have a problem with Sfiras HaOmer. But Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you're allowed to do an upsharonish for a 3-year-old kid. Why? Because before Yom Tov, it wasn't his birthday. According to the custom, he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. Now he can cut his hair. But, so therefore, the Gemara, same thing with the nails. If you didn't cut your nails before Yom Tov, Chacham said, wait, what are you doing? You want to leave time for Chol HaMoed? No way, you're not allowed to cut your nails. But if you cut your nails before Yom Tov, and then they grew back, Chacham said, listen, for Yom Tov, you can cut your nails. And that's the way that Chachamim worked with many of these din. So the Gemara says over here, if you're riding a horse, you're riding a donkey, and you need to trim the hooves of the animal that they'd be able to walk better for you, you're allowed to do it. But then the Gemara says, but to trim the nails of a donkey, not that you're riding on, that you used for the mill, that you're not allowed to do. Now, Rashi explains that they used to grind with a donkey. The animal used to stand in one place, and that caused the mill here. The donkeys used to turn the millstones. Now, we learned before, you're allowed to grind flour on Chol HaMoed that you need for Yom Tov. Now, how much wheat do you need already for Yom Tov? You're not doing it for 2 months. You're doing it for 4 to 5 days. Yeah? So then, you're using a minimal amount of wheat. Right? So how much walking does the donkey have to do already? So because the donkey can do it well without cutting its hooves or trimming the hooves, you're talking not allowed to trim the hooves. The donkey that you're riding on, you need to go far away, and you want to have a comfortable ride, so then you're allowed to trim it on Yom Tov. But to trim a donkey that you don't need to trim it, because the donkey can grind the stuff with the nails that or the hooves that it has, you're talking not allowed to do it.
What about a baker?
What?
A baker needs a lot of flour.
A baker needs a lot of flour. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. Yeah, then it would be a different din. Then the attack would be a different din.
But this is on the bottom here. As the Mashmah, he's riding his donkey only.
Oh, right. I was going to say that. I saw the Taisus before. Taisus says, though, that Stam, to ride a donkey for long distances, if it's not for the need of Yom Tov, you wouldn't be allowed to.
Why wouldn't that apply to a car also?
The car is less malacha than riding a donkey. But Enochanami, but today, if a person wants to go out with the family Chol HaMoed, that's called Tzarech HaYomtev, Tzarech HaMoed, to enjoy the Yomtev. If a guy has to drive a car for business, so if it's Dovid Ovid, again, you're allowed to drive the car. You're right. I mean, in today's world, rarely would you find an example of driving a car that's not Tzarech HaMoed. And whatever you're doing, you're going to buy food, you're going to on a trip, you're going somewhere, it's basically Tzarech HaMoed. Then the Gemara said, Rav Yehuda shari l'mishkol tufre l'chamed rechaya. Rav Yehuda says, you could trim the nails of a donkey of the mill. The first opinion says no. Rav Yehuda says you could. Why? Because Rav Yehuda holds, yes, the donkey could do it with these nails, but if you cut it, it's going to work better. It's called Tzarech HaMoed. But and also ulam ukmit, to set up a pair of millstones, malivne rechai, to build the mill, lemivne ames rechai, to build the frame of the mill, or a mivna urya, and to build a barn and cholamed for cattle or for stables of horses. And he says, why? Why do you have to build? Why you have to build a barn for animals on Yom Tov? Rav Yehuda holds, Rashi explains, that if the animals don't have a comfortable place to stay, they're going to get injuries. And if they get injuries, it's going to be a loss of money.
If it's not secure, they could escape and ruin your holiday.
All right. Or else they're going to forestall a loss or whatever. Yeah. They're going to run away, get injured. So then you're allowed to do it. Rav, or Rava, Shara L'Saruka Sasaya. He permitted to curry horses, mean to comb horses with a metal comb. Now, on Shabbos a Yom Tif, you can't. You can't comb a horse on Shabbos a Yom Tif. Why? Because you're going to pull out hairs. It's like the din, you really can't comb your hair on Shabbos a Yom Tif with a hard brush or a comb, because every time you comb, you pull out hairs, and you're not allowed to pull out hairs on Shabbos.
What
is raises. Shearing. Shearing wool.
Can you comb your hair in any fashion?
Only if it's a soft brush that won't pull out hair. So, on Cholamei, though, he said you're allowed to. Are you pulling out hair? But the answer is, why can you use a metal comb? So Rashi explains, because the horse looks nicer, and it's presentable, and it's more, it's nicer for Yom Tov. Not a Yom Tov, and Chol HaMoed. So he says you can curry a horse with a metal comb. L'mivna kripta, to build a manger. A manger is...
Manger.
What?
Manger.
Manger? Okay, thanks. Manger is the bowl, a wooden bowl they would build to put the horse food, the animal food in that the animal would eat from.
So what's his name was born in a bowl?
Rashi says he used to do it. Rashi says what the bowl that you put the food in before the in front of the animals. And ulamivne itzdeba, to build a stone bench on Chol HaMoed. He permitted all those things to... Why? Because a place for people to sit is called the need of Yom Tov, because otherwise you're going to have to stand. But they bring down that it's only if it's unprofessional people doing it. Because professional jobs, you learned before, you can't do. Okay.